And I am so happy today. I just wake up, open Twitter, and there was it. The new release demo of Age of Calamity, Hyrule Warriors. This is a game that I've been waiting for a long time. I've been playing Fire Emblem Warrior for quite some time. I managed to stack 300 plus hours on that one. And I tried to get into the Hyrule Warriors game. That is a re-release from the Hyrule Warriors game for the Nintendo, I don't remember the name of the console, Nintendo Wii something. It was a failed project. Nobody wants to remember that one. But the thing is, this is the present. We are now enjoying a new era of really good games, and this is not going to be an exception. Hyrule Warriors is hitting with everything. It's going to be a very good game for, let's say, November to December. A lot of people is going to be playing it. But I do suspect that most people are not going to be playing it for quite a long time. So, as you may not know, or maybe you do, Hyrule Warriors is a Musou game or a Warriors franchise game, which is basically a single super overpowered character against 1,000 soldiers, and you just defeat them all, and it's pretty much a power fantasy for video games. So you get these super powerful characters, and your warriors are going to be battling in these very large maps, very large battlefields, and you just manage to slaughter thousands of soldiers at a time with your own hands. So that's pretty much the thing with these kind of games. I do really like them, but I do really like the grind. I do enjoy the grind. And these games do actually provide with a lot of grind. And this is something that not many Americans really like. A lot of the Westerners don't really like to grind or repeat the same thing over and over again because they just want to be good enough. Most of the time, I think that people in the Western countries, and I want them, we do feel maybe just doing the job good enough is more than enough. And once we accomplish a mission, or we achieve a job, or we do something, we don't really need to repeat the same task over and over again. But in the Asian market, these kind of games are really popular because of the same reason that it's not really popular over here. Repeating the same mission over and over again, repeating the same combos, or maybe trying to variate your combos or doing something else. The grind is very enjoyable for people in the Eastern countries, in Japan especially. The grind is something that they strive for. It's not a chore. It is repetitive, but the thing is that's basically the game. Repeating, making your weak attack, and then the strong attack, or whatever combo you already have. So, talking about Hyrule Warriors is going to be very simple, because the formula for a Musou game is just right there. You do have your prologue, which are basically from 3 to 5 missions that you can replay just to understand how the game works. And we do have all the basics covered in a Warriors game. We do have the simple 2-button combo, which is basically you use your Y button for the weak attack in the Nintendo Switch, and you do have your X button for the strong attacks, and you just basically chain them together by pressing first the weak attack, and then you repeat pressing the same button until you want to choose the strong attack. So basically you do weak attack, strong attack, and that's a combo. I repeat, weak attack and then the strong attack, and that's a combo. Or you may just direct press the strong attack, and many characters do have their own personal special move for the strong attack if you do just that. I see that we do have access in the demo for three characters. Link is the first one, obviously. He's pretty much your bread and butter. Nothing surprising here. Just you have your shield and your sword, and you sweep across the battlefield swinging your sword. I do have to admit that Link's moves are pretty boring. Even after reading the description of his moves and his combos, which are basically a variation of the basic combos, the only thing that you need to know is that in order to pull out his special moves, quote unquote, you only need to keep pressing the strong attack button at the end of the combo, and then Link is going to make this a special move or a stronger attack. Other than that, it's not really really something special. Link does have access to a bow and an arrow, but I never actually find it enjoyable to use or pretty useful. Link in these kind of games, all characters are pretty much very mobile. You can dash across the battlefield really quickly. You can get close and personal with the enemy really fast. So bow and arrow in this game is not really an impactful way of engaging into combat compared to games like Genshin Impact and even Breath of the Wild itself. So you do have access to bow and arrow, but I don't really recommend it. So Link is pretty boring, but he's very efficient and he endures damage quite a lot. So he's pretty tanky compared to the other two characters. And the second character that you get to use on the first mission is Impa. And this is pretty much our ninja, our female ninja lady, top tier waifu, by the way. So that's currently my main on the demo already. I've been playing the game for 2 hours, so not too much time in Musou standards, but never mind. So the thing is, Impa is really quick. She does do a lot of AoE damage with the aid of her special mechanic that is the Shinobi clone technique, let's say. So she's basically a Naruto character inserted into Hyrule Warriors game. So she basically, she's really quick. She does her attacks really, really fast. But she is really, really fragile, and most big mini bosses almost one shot me on the highest difficulty and the first mission. So she is really fragile, and if you don't dodge in the right moment, you are going to get hit, and more likely than not, you are just 2 hits away from being from losing the game. So when I started playing the game, I set up the difficulty to the maximum, because that's how I roll in these kinds of games. Maximum difficulty in a Musou game tends to be irrelevant in the later levels, once and especially when you get really good weapons. So in my experience, that is. And I compared this game, this demo at least, to the Fire Emblem game. I can see that the formula of the Fire Emblem Warriors game is here. We do get our different characters, that's okay. But something that really stands out is the weapon system. Weapons don't break here, mid-combat, thankfully. You don't need to replace your main weapon every 5 hits that you do with your sword. So don't worry about that. It's not your weapons break, but outside the battlefield. So once you get access to the main world map, you are going to have access to a blacksmithing. In order to unlock it, you just need to pay a fee with in the shape of some money, I believe, and materials that you are going to get anyway on your first run on the first mission. So once you get access to the Blasmid, you're going to be allowed to fusion or merge your weapons, which is basically selecting your weapon that you are planning to upgrade and then choose a secondary weapon and a tier weapon or whatever any number of weapons up until 5. And those weapons, up to 5 weapons, are going to be sacrificed or destroyed in order to improve your first weapon, your original weapon. So you are going to get a lot of weapons anyway, so this is the best way to use them, I guess, to just use them as materials to improve your main weapon. And as this is a Warriors game, some of these weapons do have randomized special characteristics. Obviously, the damage is very important, but more important than direct damage is the fact that you are getting these special stats on the weapon. For example, you get a percentage increase directly into auto attacks. So that means that you hit harder with auto attacks. I still need to make some experimentation to see which attacks get their damage increase, because I believe that only the weak attacks are going to be that way, and maybe the combos with the strong attacks, but special attacks with the button A are not going to be included. So that's another special thing, the specials attacks, the warriors attacks. When you fight, you get to charge a yellow bar on the top left corner of the screen, and once it's filled, depending on your character, you just press A, and whatever is in front of you is going to receive a lot of damage. There is going to be running a special animation, and most of the enemies in front of you are going to get hit by that. It's pretty much an AoE special attack. And the damage is going to be pretty low at the beginning, but in these kind of games, once you get access to something else, you're allowed to increase not only how much damage does this attack do, but to even get access to more than a single bar of the special attack. So you can actually spam this up until 3 times, or at least that was the amount of special warrior attack bars in the Fire Emblem Warriors game. So that's your special attack. The thing that I don't like about the special attacks in these kind of games is that the animation is quite long. It looks pretty cool, except for Link. For Link, all his animations look pretty boring. But for Impa, she does even have different animation for this attack, depending on her special mechanic, the enemy mark. You are allowed to mark enemies with Impa and then consume the mark with the X button. And this is going to give Impa some sort of rune, and you can gather up until 3 different runes. And when you get all 3, if you execute a special attack with A, with the button A, Impa is going to make another animation, a different one. And she's going to be able to basically just run over the enemies with a stronger attack, and the animation looks a little better. That's pretty much it. But another characteristic of Impa itself is that she's able to, every single time that she gathers one of these runes or marks, she summons a couple of doppelgangers or clones, which are basically copies just like her, but they are pretty much like this Sheikah bluish color shiny thing. So they are basically just Impa clones, but in blue, and they are very bright. And these shadows actually auto-attack at the same time that you do, so you can do a lot of AoE damage. The clones follow you around, and they are pretty fast, and you can just basically cover a lot of area in front of you using the clones. And if you get all the 3 marks, you get a lot of clones that way. Anyway, So the thing is that Impa is pretty fun. She's very mobile. Her combo one, I believe, is like some sort of teleport to the nearest enemy. And you press it again once you unlock the combo. You are able to detonate a couple of shadows or your clones. You detonate them as explosions. So your clones become bombs, actually, or some sort of explosive devices, let's say. Impa can actually fly across the map with her combo 2, which is basically just launches her on the up onto the air, and she can now glide over using this cool-looking ninja flying thing. It's like a parachute, a mini parachute, and she uses this to fly across the battlefield. And if you are using clones at that time, the clones are also flying, and they actually drop these ninja knives on the floor with bombs. A lot of AoE, a lot of damage. She's really fast. And at this time, she's my favorite character. I believe that it's going to be the main character for a lot of people at the beginning, or at least while the demo is up. So anyway, and the last character is Zelda itself, Princess Zelda. We are getting her, and she looks cute enough, but I do feel like her attack, she's her main weapon right now is the Sheikah Slate, and I believe that she is really slow with that one. All her auto-attacks are very slow, but I guess that she's supposed to be the mage of the group, while Link is going to be the warrior, and Impa is going to be the rogue, so she's going to be the mage. So basically, she hits really hard, I guess, but really slow. And or she hits moderately with a moderate amount of damage with a very large AoE effect. So her area of effect is really large, even for auto attacks. But she's really slow doing them. And being slow in these kind of games is not really something really good. So I do suggest that only play her if you really, really, really like her. Because right now I am sticking to Impa up until she's level 20. During the demo, the level cap is level 20. And you are going to be playing a lot of maps all over and over and over again if you are planning to get to level 20 before the release date. It's going to be quite a grind, but I guess that's how it rolls anyway. So Zelda does have her Sheikah Slate. She does have access to in the form of auto attacks. She does have access to magnesis, to the actual bombs, to the cryo, and to the stasis, and that's just her auto combos. So, but these auto attacks don't count for mini bosses that require bombs or whatever other Sheikah actions. What are these? Well, Sheikah actions are basically you could press the L the left bump or the right bump button. That's the ones in the top of your controller. You get access to the menu. That allow, in the case of the Sheikah Slate, it's going to be the right button. And this, you keep pressing the right button and you are going to be showing the Sheikah Slate menu. You get to choose between bombs, magnesis, stasis, and the cryo. So many mini bosses, depending on the weapons that they are using, are going to require you to actually use one of those abilities in order to stun them. And the windows is quite short. But it's pretty good, and it's long enough to allow you to react in time, even if you don't have the cooldown on the Sheikah Slate. Because every single time that you use a power of the Sheikah Slate, you get this very long shared global cooldown, and this is not going to allow you to throw bombs one right after the another, like you could actually do in Breath of the Wild. If you throw a bomb, you cannot do anything else up until the global cooldown finish. So you need to choose the Sheikah Slayer activity or power that you wish to actually do and think really well about it. And on the other hand, with the L button, we do have access to a weapon in Breath of the Wild that is not really that useful, but here is really useful, the magic rods. If you get to fight Wizrobes, you are going to find Fire Wizrobe, Electric Wizrobe, and Ice Wizrobes. These are basically monsters that float on the air. They are mages representing their element. And if you defeat one, and they are pretty hard to kill, at least in very hard mode, if you get to kill one, you get to use their magic rod. And this is not a main hand weapon. This is more like the Sheikah Slate, in the sense that you need to keep pressing the L button to show the main menu where you have all your rods, the fire, the electrical, and the ice rod. And you activate this, everything runs in slow motion, and now you have access to point, to basically aim where you want to use your rod. It's a circular AOE in front of you, and you can actually move it. And when you select your area of effect, you are going to be able to create a fire pillar, for example. If you have an enemy, a mini boss that requires that have access to the stun gauge, the stun gauge is basically this hexagon that allows you to you destroy every single piece of this hexagon by hitting the enemy that is showing it. Then you are going to be allowed to press X in front of the enemy to hit him very hard with a critical hit. This is a very strong attack, and it's the main source of damage in Fire Emblem Warriors. When you get your critical hit, your critical attack, this is more likely than not to kill an enemy even in full health most of the time. But to get there, you need to increase your critical damage. In this game, it's not really explored too much because it's a demo. But I'm looking for grinding weapons and see if I get to find something that increases damage with critical hits. And I'm going to get to look for those weapons. Critical hits is another thing. I haven't found the equivalent to Awakening mode in Fire Emblem Warriors. Awakening mode is basically another bar that fills up whenever you kill specific enemies. And when this bar is up, you get to hit a trigger. I don't know if this is going to be implemented here, I guess. And when you hit that, your character becomes way more powerful. You get to the in Fire Emblem Warriors, you get to glow in a bluish color, and your out attacks do more damage. You cannot be interrupted by damage. So you are basically an unstoppable warrior. All your damage is increased, and you are basically super powerful and pretty much indestructible for the duration. And at the end, you are going to execute a special attack, an awakening attack, that is basically a wider area than your regular warrior attack. And this AoE attack is going to do a lot of damage too. This was included in the Hyrule Warriors for Definitive Edition, but it does have another name. And Fire Emblem Warriors does have this Awakening mode. And this is my favorite mode for playing the game because you are basically more damage. You do have a lot of more defense in the sense that you cannot basically die while you have it. And pretty much everything is just fine. In the case of Fire Emblem Warriors, you get more drops, more experience, more money gathered, and everything is better with Awakening mode. Anyway, I don't see Awakening mode here yet. It's a possibility, I guess, because everything else is here, including instead of blessings in Fire Emblem Warriors, we get cooking. So what is cooking? Well, basically, you choose these cook pots on the main map. Nothing fancy, just text and some icons, and you get to receive a buff for one battle, and the one that I'm choosing every single time is more damage, because I like to kill things harder. Okay, so after you unlock certain dishes, You get to move faster in the battlefield. You get to endure more damage, to hit harder, and you choose one of them. And it basically works as a sort of blessing during the entire fight. So if you get a 7% plus damage, so all your characters get the benefit anyway for that single battle. If you want to play in another battle, you need to get the ingredients for the same or another cooking recipe, and then you get the benefit for the next battle. It's expensive, not really, but the benefit farly outweighs the whatever is required to make these dishes anyway. The thing that you're going to be looking for in this game is weapons. More important than even level for your character are weapons. Good weapons are basically the cornerstone of any Musou game. If you play Fire Emblem Warriors, you already know what I'm talking about. A level 1 character is overpowered. It's going to overpower any 150 level enemy with the best weapon, the better weapon in the game. In the case of Fire Emblem Warriors, these are the opus weapons for every single character. So every character in the game receives his or her own personal weapon that is the maximum level weapon for that character in particular. So I guess that I'm going to get something like this here for every single character. And my first guess and everybody else's guess is that the Master Sword is going to be the opus weapon for Link. And who knows what else we are going to get for the other characters. Maybe we are going to get bow and arrow for Zelda, maybe. Some sort of sword. For Impa, I may like to see her using a katana, maybe, or using this Japanese spear. I don't remember the name. It's like pretty much a very big spear with a pretty big axe-shaped blade on the top of it. I don't remember the name of that one. I'm not really a weeb, but never mind. I really like how it looks. Massive. Hinakana, something like that. I remember the name of the game from Hyrule Warriors Definitive Edition. There is an Impa there. Very different design. But the idea is pretty much the same. So, Impa, top tier waifu. I hope you enjoyed this first episode. That's all I can say for the game right now. I am making more episodes talking about Fire Emblem. About Hyrule Warriors, Age of Calamity, because I really love Musou games. I love the grind. I love the spreadsheets and analyzing data about these games and looking for ways to improve my damage on those games. And that's pretty much the game. The grind, many people are going to hate it. I'm going to love it. I do love a good grind. And every single mission successfully that allows me to grow in power even for a little bit, or increasing my chances to get a better weapon or a better stat for my weapons. I'm going to be looking for that. Basically, become even more overpowered in these games. That's pretty much the appeal of the warrior games, to basically just become this unstoppable warrior. And you just destroy everything, and you need to use your imagination to challenge yourself, because sometimes the game it becomes way too easy in the later stages of the game. And even resetting the level of the character doesn't really help, because once you get that opus weapon, even a level 1 character is going to defeat the hardest boss in the hardest difficulty in the highest level. I had done it several times in Fire Emblem Warriors, and I suspect that it's going to be the same here. Before I leave, I may like to talk about the main story. A great criticism of Breath of the Wild is the lack of storytelling. We do have some storytelling here and there in the shape of cinematics at the beginning, when you meet the traveler at the beginning in Breath of the Wild, and then you meet Impa in the future in Breath of the Wild. there is some interaction with the champions, and that's pretty much it. And then the rest is delivered by the ending of the game and the memories of Link when he chooses to look for them using the camera. So not too many storytelling opportunities in Breath of the Wild, but here this game is running on this age where there are people in Hyrule. There is a lot of people here, a lot of activity. They are looking to repel this invasion of monsters and the Calamity Ganon. So my guess is that you are going to... There are in the demo, there are a lot of cinematics that I would consider them as valuable as half the cinematics in Breath of the Wild. And this is just a demo. So I guess we are going to be seeing the development of characters in the world, and I'm glad for that. I hope that Nintendo keeps this trending of exposing information and developing characters more seriously, because Breath of the Wild is great and all, but the silent character type for countless hours running around, it gets boring for me for quite a while. And I need to become very creative finding challenges in this world. And I had to say that after playing Breath of the Wild in Master Mode and completing the Trials of the Sword in Master Mode, that was pretty much when the game was when I was done with the game, with Breath of the Wild anyway. Any other challenge out there didn't compare to that. So I'm still looking for Korok seeds, but that's a boring grind. It's pretty much lost running around. And if I want to actually do it right, I need to do a lot of research or open a web browser next to my Nintendo Switch and begin patrolling for these Korok seeds. And I already overpower every single enemy on the game, but never mind. The thing is, Breath of the Wild, Age of Calamity, Hyrule Warriors Age of Calamity, is going to be released worldwide November 20, 2020. And I already pre-purchased a physical copy of the game. I'm going to be getting the game November 25 or 26. So I'm going to be missing a single week. But I'm going to be playing a lot with my video editing skills and my podcast recording skills, I guess. Thank you for listening to my ramblings for half an hour, and I hope you are enjoying Age of Calamity. See you later.